Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, the Manus, the Administrators of the Universe, text number 12. Nayasyad yanto madhyamcha svakparo nantaram bahi vishvasya muni yadyasman Vishvam Chatadritam Mahat. Neither. Yasya, of whom? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adi, a beginning. Anto, end. Madhyam, middle. Cha, also. Swa, own. Paraha, others. Na, nor. Antaram, inside. Bahi, outside. Vishvasya, of the whole cosmic manifestation. Amuni, all such considerations. Yat, whose form. Yasmat, from he who is the cause of everything. Vishvam, the whole universe. Cha, and. Tat, all of them. Ritam, truth. Mahat, very, very great. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, and no middle. Nor does He belong to a particular person or a nation. He has no inside or outside. The dualities found within this material world, such as beginning and end, mind and theirs, are all absent from the personality of the Supreme Lord. The universe which emanates from Him is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is the ultimate truth, and He is complete in greatness. Purport. Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is described in the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karanam Karanam. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for He is the prime cause of all causes. For the Lord's existence, there is no cause, for He is the cause of everything. He is in everlasting, He is in everything. Maya tatami dam sarvam. He is expanded in everything, but He is not everything. He is the Chintya Veda Veda, simultaneously one and different. That is explained in this verse. In the material condition, we have a conception of the beginning and the middle, but for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are no such things. The universal cosmic manifestation is also the Virat Rupa that is shown to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, since the Lord is present everywhere and all time, and all the time, He is the absolute truth and is the greatest. He is complete in greatness. God is great, and how He is great is explained here. I'll read the next verse also. The entire cosmic manifestation is the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, who has millions of names and unlimited potencies. He is self-effulgent, unborn, and changeless. He is the beginning of everything, but He has no beginning. Because He has created this cosmic manifestation by His external energy, the universe appears to be created, maintained, and annihilated by Him. Nevertheless, He remains inactive in His spiritual energy. and he is untouched by the activities of the material energy. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his Shikshastika, Nam Nama Kali Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has many names, which are all non-different from the Supreme Person. This is spiritual existence. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, consisting of the names of the Supreme Lord, we find that the name has all the potencies of the person. The Lord's activities are many, and according to his activities, he has many names. He appears as the son of Mother Jasoda, and also as the son of Mother Devaki. And therefore he is named Devaki Nandana and Jashoda Nandana. Parashya Shaktira Vividaiva Shuyate. The Lord has a multitude of energies, therefore he acts in multifarious ways. It has a particular nature, particular name. The Shastras recommend which names we should chant, such as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That's not in the verse, but anyhow, it's alright. It could be in the verse, though. It is not that we have to search for some name or manufacture one. Rather, we have to follow the saintly persons and the Shastras in chanting his holy name. Although the material and spiritual energies both belong to the Lord, he is impossible to understand as long as we are in the material energy. And when we have come to the spiritual energy, he is very easy to know. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.23, Mayam Vyudasya Chich Chaktya Kaivalye Stita Atmani. Although the external energy belongs to the Lord, when one is in the external energy, Mamamaya Dharatya, he is very difficult to understand. However, when one comes to the spiritual energy, one can understand him. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 18.55, it is said, Bhaktimam avijananti yavanyas shasmi tattvataha. One who wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in reality must take to the platform of bhakti, or Krishna consciousness. This bhakti consists of various activities, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. And to understand the Lord, one must take to this path of devotional service. Even though the people of the world have forgotten God and may say that God is dead, this is not a fact. One can understand God when one takes the Krishna consciousness movement, and thus one can be happy. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhute Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. Devotional service can be divided into two different parts. It can be divided into many parts, but at least from one point of view it's two parts. One is the performance, the activities, the devotional service, to come to the platform of liberation from the material concept of life, when we actually realize that we're eternal, rather than just intellectually understand it, or not intellectually hear about it and not quite understand it. But when one actually realizes one is eternal, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti, Nikangshiti, Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu, Madbhaktim Labhate Param. That our endeavor is very simple. We only have two things we're trying to do. Actually, there's three things we're trying to do. One of them is giving up hankering, as if we don't have enough. I need more. And then more, and then more. Or as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, idam maya maya, idam maya, idam, what is it? What's the first word? Idam adhyamaya labvam imam prapsemanoritam. Idam astiyam apime bhavishyati punaradhanam. Asamaya takshatra manishe chaparamapi. Ishvaraham aham bhogi siraham balavan suki, etc. So much is mine, and I'll get more in the future. So much money I have, and I'll get more and more and more. He is my enemy, this one over here. And I have killed him, and my other enemies will all be killed. Oh, no, don't kill me. Yeah. I'm the Lord of everything. I am perfect. I am powerful, and I am happy. I'm surrounded by rich and aristocratic relatives. I will perform some sacrifice. I will give some charity. I'll go to the heavenly planets, or as Purnachandra Maharaj says in his Gitanjali, and I'll kiss the apsaras there. In this way, the demoniac are bewildered by ignorance. So we think, well, I'm just hankering for something small, like another piece of pizza. No big deal. Why should Krishna complain? And I just want to be the Lord of my little kingdom. I don't need a big kingdom, just a little kingdom. I'm not greedy. But Prabhupada said, even if you are hankering for one raisin, you have to come back to get that raisin. Of course, it should be an offered raisin. So this hankering that we need something, as if we're not complete in ourselves. And indeed, without Krishna, we're not complete within ourselves. And as long as we don't have Krishna, as long as we're not Krishna conscious, we're going to hanker. Nasti buddhya yuktasya na cha yuktasya bhavanaha na cha bhavyantak shantir ashantasya kutak sukham. Therefore, one is not in Krishna consciousness or divine consciousness, can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So unless we're actually conscious of Krishna, that neither our vision of things is proper, nor will our mind be peaceful, be controlled. Now we may think there are so many other reasons other than my own uncontrolled mind, as Prahlad Maharaj said, that in this world there are no enemies except for the uncontrolled mind. So when we think something's wrong, then maybe the first thing we should do is maybe something wrong with my vision of things that doesn't allow my mind to settle down and be peaceful. We think that somehow or another Krishna is not in control, there's no God in control, there's no foundation to this world. I'm being unfairly treated. As I said yesterday, maybe God is there, but he's asleep because it's Chaturmasya, and every 4 months things go haywire. No one has to understand our first problem is that hankering and lamentation. As soon as we're going to hanker for something, then we're going to have to lament, because even if we get it, and we enjoy it, then we have to lament, because eventually it disappears, or we disappear. And then we're going to have to lament. As Harsha Marsha, when Chitraketu Maharaj was despondent, because he had 10 million wives. And none of his wives could give him a child. So he was very unhappy, because not that he was being irresponsible, but as a responsible king, he knew that he wasn't going to be there forever, and therefore he needed at least one child. So Narada Muni gave him the benediction that he could get at least one child, but because of his karma, the child would be Harsha Marsha, would be the cause of his happiness and the cause of his distress. You can't get one without the other. You can't get happiness without accepting the distress. So we want happiness in the material world, we have to accept the distress. Not necessarily if we get distressed, we have to accept happiness. That may come of its own accord, it may not come. If we act in such a way as to get to be the cause of distress, then we might only get only distress. Yara agre chanubhane cha sukamohanam atmanaha nidralasya pravarosya sitamasamudaritam. That which in the beginning and the end is blind to self-realization, which is based upon sleeping, laziness, and illusion, is said to be happiness in the mode of ignorance. In any case, he got the child, and the child was the cause of his happiness. The whole kingdom was rejoicing, finally we got a child. But everyone in the kingdom was happy except for the 999,999 other wives. They all became very disturbed. Now the king has forgotten about us. The king must have had a good memory, because could you imagine having 9 million, 10 million wives trying to remember their names? It would be... We know who's, you know, anyhow, he must have had a good memory. Where he had a lot of unhappy wives. In any case, all of them became very unhappy. And they decided the best way we can become happy again is to kill the little child. Which they went about and did. They poisoned him. And he died. And now there are 9,999,099 wives, which are quite happy. And Krishna Ketu Maharaj and his wife and the other inhabitants of the kingdom were very unhappy. I don't know how many inhabitants were, maybe it balanced out. In any case, Narada Muni came back, found the king in great distress, and found and asked the child to come back. So the child came back and said, asked the child, why did you leave? He said, leave who? Your parents. Which parents? I've had so many parents. What about these parents? Oh, these people. Oh, yeah, that's right. In my last lifetime, I was a king, and so was this Chitraketu Maharaj, and we fought with each other, and he killed me, and I vowed I'd come back and make his life miserable. So I've succeeded. Now I can go away. So we may think hankering is very nice. They call that love, romance. And when there is lamentation, they even sing songs about that. The girl who left me behind. As if there is a special rasa in that also. And on the basis of that, we have so many distorted relationships in the material world. Those who can give me what I'm hankering for, they're my friends. And those who try to take away, gross or subtly, what I want, they're my enemies. And this way, the whole material world is full of friends and enemies. Someone who's my friend today, who gives me something, who tries to take something away from me tomorrow, becomes my enemy. But actually, behind everything is Krishna. So Krishna is coming, giving me things, or at least according to my karma, I'm receiving things. And according to my karma, things are taken away from me. According to my karma, therefore, some people appear to be my friends, some of you people appear to be my enemies. And I'm just stuck in this drama of the material existence where I'm the hero and so many people are either supporting actors or actresses for the hero, or they're the villains in the play. They don't appreciate the hero, or they're attacking the hero or the heroine, and therefore so much drama is going on in the material world. Just like Prabhupada was in Montreal giving a lecture, and one Indian gentleman who was coming regularly stood up during the lecture and said, Swamiji, this is 1967, I guess, He was saying, Swamiji, probably, no, 68. Swamiji, why are you cheating these people? Why don't you tell them the truth? He started to criticize Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just tolerated. And then at the end, when the man left, because the devotees wanted to jump up and put a quick end to him, but Prabhupada didn't. Prabhupada didn't allow it. So they asked Prabhupada, you know, why didn't you say something? He said, well, actually, probably, in the last, in, well, he said, didn't say probably, in the last, my last lifetime, I offended this man, so now I'm getting the reaction to it. So if we think things are just going on arbitrarily, and that we're victims, or that I'm the hero and the heroine, and that I'm the savior, then we don't see how Krishna's hand is in there, and therefore we're an illusion. And whatever, if we're the hero or the victim, it makes no difference because we'll equally suffer. Only when Krishna is there can we actually see things properly, and therefore we can have a controlled mind. If the mind is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then there'll be nothing to hanker for. Hankering and lamenting in the material world is the definition of uncontrolled. It is not that we're the ultimate controller of everything, or even our mind. We just have to have a choice. For the jnanis and for the yogis, their choice is to stop hankering lamentation. But for the devotee, he wants to hanker for Krishna and lament over the fact that he doesn't have Krishna. He doesn't have to stop hankering lamentation. He just has the right hankering and the right lamentation. Then the mind will be satisfied because Krishna is the object to hanker for and the actual object to lament that we don't have. They're both equally beneficial. Then we can see all living entities. When they're suffering, we can see they're suffering because they're not hankering for Krishna and they're not lamenting over the fact that they don't have him. Or the most advanced devotee, when he sees someone hankering, he sees that they're hankering for Krishna, and when he sees they're lamenting, he sees they're lamenting because they don't have Krishna. So therefore, our actual existence is in relationship to Krishna, either positively or negatively. And Krishna has come in this age in the form of the holy name and also the deities. And therefore, our mood, our understanding of the holy name, our understanding of the deities, our understanding of reality has a lot to do with our mood. And our mood has a lot to do with our relationship with the deities, with Krishna, and with everything else. If we have the proper understanding, as mentioned here, that Krishna is not incapable of having a relationship with us in any circumstance, and that whatever is going on is completely under Krishna's control. Nothing is happening arbitrarily. When Haridasa Thakur was put before the Nawab, and the Nawab was asking Haridasa Thakur, you seem to have been a good Muslim, but somehow or another you became contaminated by a bad association, and now you're chanting Hare Krishna. What's wrong with you? Maybe you should give you some prasadam, maybe you'll get cured or something. So Haridasa Thakura, he saw actually it was illusory energy talking to him. He didn't think that this person is, you know, where did this come from? I've been chanting Hare Krishna, you know, Krishna, why don't you protect me? Throw a thunderbolt or something. Now he realized this is Krishna's arrangement, and therefore he accepted it. But he didn't think it was just Krishna talking to him. He thought it was Krishna in the form of the illusory energy talking to him. So Krishna comes in different forms. He also comes in the form of the illusory energy. So to see Krishna doesn't necessarily mean that he saw in the Nawab holding a flute. Krishna is there, but he's not there. Chintya Beda Beda Tattva. And therefore he wasn't disturbed when he was condemned to the different, as Haridasa Thakur said, some Hindus, they convert into Muslims. So if one Muslim converts into a Hindu, what would be the harm? You got so many other converts, you know. It's just one mustard seed in a bag of mustard seed. You won't even notice me. Still, the Nawab wasn't satisfied. He had Haridasa Thakur beaten in 23 marketplaces or something like that. But Haridasa Thakur was unconcerned because he was meditating on Krishna. And when his dementors, those who were beating him, pleaded with him in the 21st marketplace, you know, please die, because if you don't die, then they'll kill us. So Haridasa Thakur said, all right, if that makes you happy, I'll die. So then he just fainted as if he died, picked up his body, brought it to the Nawab. Nawab said, you know, what to do with it. He said, he's not a very good Muslim. We shouldn't bury it. He doesn't deserve a burial. Throw him into the river. So they threw him into the Ganges. He woke up, came out of the Ganges, and everyone was amazed, especially the Nawab. So, to see things in relation to Krishna is quite valuable. So to understand how he's in every atom. How he got there, we don't know. But when we become more conscious, when we rely upon Krishna, then Krishna will reveal himself what he's doing. Unless we take shelter of Krishna, then it's very hard to see what he's doing. If you go on book distribution and your aim is to distribute the book in spite of the fact that no one apparently wants the book, then when you pray to Krishna, please send someone who wants the book, and someone appears who wants the book. I know sometimes the devotees have the book in their bag and they're convinced no one wants the book, and someone comes along and says, what's in your bag? No, you're not interested. No, show me what's in the bag. The person practically has to fight with the devotee to get the book out of the bag. And he says, how much is it? No, you'll never buy it. You don't want the book. No, I want the book. How much is it? So when Krishna sends someone who wants the book, then in spite of the fact that you don't want to distribute it, Krishna will distribute it anyhow. And whatever Krishna wants, he'll supply. I mean, I remember I was distributing books in the Chicago airport, and everyone was in the mood that there was a war going on. This was like 1970, must have been the early 70s, late 70s. They were convinced that there is some, you know, the war was coming. World War III, probably mentioned about World War III in one morning. So the whole mood was a war. So the devotees wanted a fight. And Krishna would send people regularly to fight with us, because that's what we wanted. We wanted some excitement, not me personally. I remember one time I came back, I was doing a program with Amala Bhakta in Detroit. I came back to work to do the airport, distribute books at the airport. And there was a big fight going on between the devotees and the workers. It was like World War IV going on. Because that's what they wanted. So Krishna will reciprocate. And then we can see, if even we have a desire, which is not Krishna conscious, but when we pray to Krishna with Tirena, then Krishna reciprocates, and there it is right in front of us. We can see how Krishna is reciprocating. And then our faith develops that actually there is a God and he's controlling. And if we want Krishna consciousness, he gives it to us. If we want to be in Maya, he gives it to us. Generally, people don't realize that Krishna is giving them Maya, but when we pray for Maya intensely and Krishna reciprocates, then we can see, actually, I'm getting it from Krishna. Then we can see how powerful Krishna is. We can see how powerful Krishna is, but we've become so dull that when we see the sun in the morning, we just think it comes up automatically. When we taste water, we don't appreciate Krishna gave us this water. We think, I deserve it. Of course it's supposed to be here. We take everything for granted without Krishna consciousness, generally speaking. But when we become dependent upon Krishna in devotional service, then we can see how Krishna is reciprocating with our desires, how Krishna is controlling our situation, how Krishna is controlling everyone's situation. So when we can actually see with knowledge, then nanyam gunebhyas kartaram drash deva nupashati gunebhyas chaparam veti madvamam sudhigachati. When you see that there's nothing beyond the three modes of nature in all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, you can know my spiritual nature. So when we understand that my desires are very important, that rather wasting my time worrying about what I'm doing, what everyone else is doing, because we should worry about what we're doing, but we shouldn't worry so much about what everyone else is doing, unless we can help them do something better. Instead, we should focus our attention on Krishna, in any case, and try to get into the proper mood in our relationship with Krishna, rather than complaining to him all the time. Krishna, finally I remembered you. Yeah, I had a lot to complain to you about. I didn't write it all down, so let me just see from my memory what to complain to you about. Or actually, Krishna, finally you appeared, now I can tell you what I need. Here's a shopping list, you know, go get it. If you can't give me everything, at least the first two items are the most important, in case you didn't know. So rather than lament before Krishna and hanker before Krishna when we're chanting the holy name, which is maybe we're accustomed to do it, as soon as we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, immediately all kinds of lamentations and hankerings come into our mind. Now instead of that, try to change our mood and have a nice relationship with Krishna, a friendly relationship with Krishna, a positive relationship, which is the beginning of love. So therefore, chant with care and attention, and then with enthusiasm, with steadiness, etc. And these are the seeds of love, of appreciation. Then we'll actually, Krishna will reveal himself in the holy name, his forms, his quality, his pastimes, and we'll understand how sweet Krishna is. Krishna is not just great, but his greatness is in his bhakta vatsala, his sweetness towards the devotees. So we have a sweet relationship with Krishna, he'll reciprocate, and he'll have a sweet relationship with us. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
How can one discern, how can a devotee discern when to struggle and when to comply with the circumstances?
Well, if you're in the ocean, you're drowning, you should struggle a little. Rather than just sink over, under. No, we should struggle to remember Krishna in terms of the circumstance. Karshati, Krishna says we're always struggling. Mamai vangso jiva loke, jiva bhutak sanatanam, manakshastran indriyani prakriti stani karshati. The living entities in this mature world are my fragmented parts and they are all eternal. But due to conditioned life, they're struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So, first of all, we should struggle to remember Krishna, and then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to do everything else. I mean, if you're drowning, then you struggle to stay afloat. But you should struggle to remember Krishna while you're drowning, in case you don't stay afloat. Similarly, in the material world, we have to rely on Krishna. In all activities, just depend upon me, work always under my protection, in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So we should see the world as belonging to Krishna and find out what Krishna wants us to do through Guru Sadhana Shastra. So then we'll know how to struggle in the material world to fulfill the orders of Guru Sadhana Shastra. Whether it's to protect the body, or protect someone else's body, or to spread Krishna consciousness, it's all a struggle. Yes.
How does one know when the struggle is too much struggle?
Well, that takes some intelligence. Too much struggle is atyahara priyasascha prajalpa niyamagraha. Depends why we're struggling too much. If it's to collect too much, or eat too much, or endeavor too much, that's called atyahara priyasascha prajalpa, etc. So, we forget Krishna. We become loyam. We talk nonsense. So, struggling too much, we neglect chanting Hare Krishna, or we neglect hearing about Krishna. We neglect so many things that are necessary. So we become Krishna conscious. So that's too much. Priyasas. Anything else? Abhidhuta Roy has a question. Our daily question. Yes. Pass the wand.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. Could I please just ask, when our mind is lamenting and hankering very strongly, how can we pacify it in the moment? How can we distance ourselves from hankering and lamentation at the given moment?
Well, the easiest thing is to chant Hare Krishna loudly with some feeling. And if you can't do that, take some prasadam. Generally, the mind will become pacified if you eat some prasadam. But try to chew the food so you taste it. So you don't lament that you ate too much. Okay.
Thank you. Avaduta Raya Prabhu has a question. God has no beginning and end. Okay, that is understandable. But what means that he has no middle? Sounds like he does not exist.
Well, if you don't have a beginning and an end, how can you have a middle? What's middle means the middle between the beginning and end. If there's no beginning and the end, there can't be any middle. Krishna is eternally present. So how can there be a middle of his being present? It's like we had a middle of the class. It started maybe 20 minutes ago. But if there was no beginning for the class, no end of it, how can you say we're in the middle? Sir, you're in the middle of the class. No. It's going to go on forever. There's no middle.
And then he has another question. If Krishna has no insight, where all the food Yashoda gave to Krishna did go?
They went on the outside.
How to understand he has no inside and outside?
Well, how do you understand? We may not be able to understand it, because we see everything as an inside and outside. But for Krishna being everything, just like it says that Krishna is in every atom. And in every atom, there where Krishna is, everything is in Krishna. So all the in every atom, Krishna is there. And in wherever Krishna is, everything is there. So try to figure that out. Then you'll get the answer to the question.
And then the last question. There is a song, Hi Krishna Govinda Hari Murare He Nata Narayana Vasudeva. Some say this is a bona fide mantra, others say not. It is only a movie song. What is the truth?
Hari Narayana, what is the mantra?
It is He Krishna Govinda Hari Murare He Nata Narayana Vasudeva.
Well, I don't know if Prabhupada ever chanted it. One time I was in Buffalo in 1960, I think Prabhupada came in 69, and we were chanting all kinds of Krishna conscious mantras. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. And Prabhupada was there, and he heard the devotees chanting these mantras. And he told our temple president, he said, actually we just chant mantras coming from our acharyas. So whether this mantra is, quote, bona fide or not, is not really the point. The point is, are we receiving it in disciplic succession from Prabhupada through our acharyas? Those are the mantras we should chant. We have enough mantras from our acharyas. We don't have to worry about getting a few extras to take up our time. Anything else? Well, actually, it's Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.